Well, welcome to my first Ash Wednesday service here. We had to cancel last year, so it's good to see you. I want to talk a little bit, and hope you picked up one of the outlines about prayer and really how we're really taught to pray. But a little background on Lent. Hello? I just changed the battery, so I'll just yell. How's that? I'm sure God's looked at me and think, man, do I have a sense of humor? God being a sense of humor. We get the word Lent from the word lengthen, which I didn't realize that until I saw that today, but it has to do with lengthening the spring and the summer season. It's a change of season. So that's what Lent is kind of reflected. It's kind of, talks about and kind of shares about. And what it does is it's a 40-day period. And I got a call today from, and I talked to him before, the minister at the Presbyterian Church, about a prayer vigil that they're trying to set up with the ministers in Hamilton. And he and I talked about it when we were there serving food the end of January. And so I heard from him today. We'd exchanged a couple voicemails. And so I talked to him. And it's going to culminate on the 5th of May, which is the National Day of Prayer. So we're going to get, and he said this year, normally they do a breakfast at the Marriott Courtyard. And so anyway, it's kind of an interesting thing. I'm going to get involved with it because I think it's, number one, I think it's good for us as a church. But number two, it's just an opportunity to meet some people and to, just to network or whatever, whatever the current term is. So, but I just want to mention, I'd be praying about that. It's an opportunity to reach out and step out. But Lent is, for some people it becomes a period of fasting. For some people it's a period of repentance. Different churches look at it differently. Some people look at it as a time of moderation, giving up or backing off, I guess, on some things. And some people use it as an opportunity for spiritual discipline. Whatever you use it for, I'd encourage you to give some reflection and some thought during these 40 days. We're going to put ashes on your forehead at the end of the service if you would like to do that. And what that really is symbolic of purification. And if you remember some of the Old Testament stories, when Job is an example, when everything happened to him, Bible says he sat down in sackcloth and ashes. And so it's a way of purification. It's a symbol of purification. I was reading today, and I want to share the eighth psalm. It said, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name throughout the earth. You made your glory higher than heaven. From the mouths of nursing babies, you have laid a strong foundation because of your foes in order to stop vengeful enemies. When I look at your skies, at what your fingers made, the moon and the stars that you set firmly in place, what are human beings that you think about them? What are human beings that you pay attention to them? You made them only slightly less than divine. Man, that's a thought, isn't it? He's made us slightly less than God. And who's divine? It's God. Crowning them with glory and grandeur. You've let them rule over your handiwork, putting everything under their feet. All sheep and all cattle, and all wild animals too, and the birds in the sky, the fish in the ocean. Everything that travels the pathways of the sea, And he ends at verse 9 the same way he did verse 1. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name throughout all the earth. And somebody said, well, it's interesting that we celebrate Christmas and then so, you know, the birth of Jesus. And then just a few months later, you know, we celebrate the death of Jesus. And I'm not sure it's necessarily a celebration about his death. It certainly is a celebration about his life. But in the handout I gave you, it talks about Acts and the four elements of prayer. It's adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and then supplication, or some people call it intercession. It's just an acronym to make it really simple to remember. Some people like CATS, which is clearing your mind, or you know, clearing out your mind and opening, you know, your thought process to where you can think only about God. But we should begin our prayers with adoration. And talk about, let him know how much we adore him, what he means to him. It's really a time of praise and time of worship to him. What we're doing is we're telling God what he means to him, what he means to you, what he means to me, how awesome he is, how spectacular he is, what he's done to create the heavens and the earth that he's given us, what he's done to create us, what he's done to create our children. I know that sometimes they'll make you want to pull your hair out, or it falls out first. But how majestic when you stop and think about what God has done for us. And then when we have some of those battles, he gives us grace to deal with them, and he helps us. So that's one of the things that he's talking about here. He says it's an opportunity just to talk about the wondrous things that God has done. And David actually wrote that psalm, and he was one of the great worshipers of all time and one of the great prayer warriors of all time. And we often hear about the fall of David and the fact that David sinned, and that gets, unfortunately, more press with some people than the blessings that God has bestowed upon David. Hebrews 13:15 says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Adoration, nothing more than to adore God, to worship him, to fulfill the commandment, to love him with all of our heart, all of our being, everything that's with us. Heart, mind, and soul. Because really what he is, he's not only our creator, he's our sustainer, he's also our redeemer. And so the second part of that, of Acts that we talk about, adoration, the second part is confession. And that's the tough part sometimes, when we confess what we've done wrong. Because we don't want to admit it. We may think it's okay. But I do believe that God can show us the wrong things that we've done in our life. And the problem without confession is unconfessed sin creates a barrier between us and God. He doesn't ask us to be perfect, but he asks us to be holy. And that's holy before him. We all make mistakes. I've started to say you make mistakes and I make mistakes, but we all make mistakes. But when we make those mistakes, that's what he's talking to us about, is coming to him with a repentant heart, make that 180-degree turn that we've talked about the last couple weeks, and go the other way. I referred a couple weeks ago to 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But he goes on to say, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If he just forgave our sins, that would be one thing, but we would still be full of unrighteousness. But he takes it a step further, and that step further is to cleanse us from what's there. I think it's important that we remember that confession is kind of a weight lifting off of our souls, off of our hearts, that gives us an opportunity to get close to God, an opportunity to do some of that inner reflection that we talk about during Lent and during this 40-day period. We had an opportunity last week to, and I mentioned it Sunday, to pray for Jake. And I would encourage you to keep Jake on your heart for these next 40 days and beyond. But part of that keeping Jake on our mind is the third part of that prayer, and the third part of that, which is the T, which is Thanksgiving. This is the time when we thank God for our blessings. Thank God for the things that He's done in our lives. And I am confident that there was probably 18 kids here, and 18 kids are questioning why. And if I don't get that call tomorrow that I told you I challenged them to, I'm making that call. Now, they may say, I'm not interested. And that's their prerogative. We all know how kids are. Well, not all kids are that way. But some of them are. But it's going to be an opportunity. And that's all really that we can do. Thanksgiving is really thanking God and praising God for what He's done. And I believe that what we do and how we pray and what we believe is important. But I also don't think that God expects us to continue to ask Him for the same thing. He doesn't say the effectual repeated prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He doesn't say that. He says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. It's a prayer. And I think the church today in general, and the church I grew up in, a lot of churches I attended kept praying for the same thing. And I'm going to throw a thought out here, and you can take it for what it's worth, but I believe that's a prayer of unbelief. When we continue to ask for the same thing. Now, that's my take on it. But I believe that He wants us to ask, and then He wants us to believe. And as I mentioned Sunday, that's why we changed the sign from praying to believing. And I said Thursday night, I don't know what will happen to Jake. You know, he's got to exercise some faith. He's got to exercise some belief. We can take the step with him, but we can't take the step for him. And so my prayer is not just for healing, but it's for an open young man that's willing to take that step in faith and believe something beyond his own imagination. We need to thank God for that. We need to thank God for our families. Even if your hair is gray, or it's falling out, or turning gray, or if you color it. We need to, thank you. We need to thank God for that. Thank God for our families. Thank God for our kids. Thank God for our friends. I'm thankful every day that I have friends here. It's important. Thankful for food. Thankful for shelter. I talked to Nancy today, followed up with her about what she said Sunday. She said, you wouldn't believe it. She took in blankets and coats, and she said they were just snatching them like you wouldn't believe. We have shelter. Some people don't. I think I mentioned a guy that came up to me that he thought I had known him from day one. I don't ever remember seeing him again before. And we had somebody had a couch here they wanted to get rid of, and the church was able to bless him with a couch. I made a couple other things that I called him the other day and gave him that he said they could use. And I look at that and I'm thinking, you know, and where he lives is probably far less than where any of us live. He does have a roof over his head. But the guy, two guys that's on the second floor can have got the whole apartment building smoked up. So, you know, I mean, it's, he's got a roof and he's got heat. But we've got so much more. Thank God for safety that he gives us, for the jobs that he provides us, for health. And then the one thing that I think is so important is for healing. I wouldn't be too surprised if we don't see a healing ministry with some people begin here. I would not be surprised with what we've seen happen in people's lives. It wouldn't shock me at all. We need to thank God for his love, for his promises that he's given to us. Paul said in Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In childhood, we're brought up to say thank you. I think that's all he wants us to do, say thank you. Anything that we can recall, any things he's done, you know, let's thank him for it. Thank him for his blessing. Paul makes it very clear when he wrote to Timothy. He said, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority. There's a paraphrase there, even if you disagree with them. That's the italics I put in. That we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. I think it's obvious I don't like the way the government's run. And I don't care who asks me. But he doesn't say to pray for your leaders if you like the way the government's run. It's hard to take. I'll be honest with you. But that's what he's saying. And then the last thing he's talking about there is, you know, we have adoration, confession, thanksgiving is supplication. And a lot of people call that intercession. And it could be, you know, it could be either one of the two, whatever we really, you know, whatever you're comfortable with. But it's a phase of prayer where we come to God and we take not only our requests, but other people's requests. I've got a couple things that I could use some healing on, I'll be honest with you. And I think a lot of times praying for other people brings that healing to us. Someone once said that if you need love, give love. If you need whatever it might be, then you give that and you receive it back. But you don't receive it back in the same measure. You'll receive it back in at least double fold, sometimes sevenfold. There's stories about that in the Bible. So that's what he's wanting us to be. He's wanting us to be specific. If you've got something in your life and you've got a child that not doing what you think they ought to do, don't just pray a general prayer. He's telling us to get specific. What is it? I talked to somebody in the last couple days. And in fact, I talked to somebody today, earlier this afternoon. And in the course of our conversation, I told him, I said, you need to get out of that relationship that you're in. Well, obviously, you know, they've been in it a long time. It's an abusive relationship. God doesn't expect that. And that person said, will you pray for me? And I said, I not only will pray for you, but I will ask the church to pray for you. That's all I need to tell you. Just a young lady that needs, as Dave Ramsey said, somebody that doesn't have a backbone needs to go into Walmart, go down to aisle 4, turn right, and buy a backbone. Sometimes, you know, we just need to do that. And so when you're praying, remember that and just intercede for the relationship. if nothing else. That's the first thing that's got to be taken care of. He wants us to pray for our friends. He wants us to pray for our neighbors, our families. Pray for your enemy. A couple weeks ago, you know, love those that you hate, or maybe just not quite the hate, but you dislike. God never said to take them out and buy them dinner, but he said to love them. Love your enemies. Love those that don't know Christ. That's what our mission is. Intercede for those people. Think of someone that you know that needs your prayers and needs your intercessory prayer for their salvation. And if they go to the Seventh Baptist Church in Hamilton, that's fine. I don't think there is one. But if there is, it's not important where they go. They just need to get into a good Bible-believing church. We need to pray for world issues. I think the world is more chaotic now than we've ever known it. Leaders in influential places, and we need to call upon God. And if it's Prime Minister Netanyahu, we need to pray for him. We need to pray for these guys in the Middle East that have the only thing they have on their minds, killing each other. And somehow, some way, that needs to be found in our intercessory prayer. There aren't any rigid rules that God gives us to pray about. There is one other thing as far as prayer is concerned, and it's kind of a two-way street. You know, it's fairly easy to ask a whole bunch of things, and God, what would you have me do, and how would you have me go about it? But it's another thing to be quiet enough to hear him say, go knock on the third door on the street where you live. That's what's difficult sometimes. But that's part of intercessory prayer. First one is adoration. Confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. We're going to take a few moments. I'm going to pray. But I want us to do some inner reflections and inner thinking about, is there anything between me and God as we, you know, any barriers that are there as we enter this 40 days of Lent? For some people, you may be fasting a day. For some people, it could be any variety of thing. For some people, it may be off of Facebook. For some people, it may be not looking at the internet or looking at the news. I don't know. You can fast from about anything. But give some thought to that. And think about what if there are any barriers, and I'm not saying there are, because I don't know your heart. I know mine. And once we are finished with the reflection, I'll close this in just a short prayer. I'd encourage you to come up, and if you want to have the ashes applied, please feel free to do it. Wes and Jim have agreed to do it as our lay leaders, and I thank them for that. So let's just take a few moments and just bow our heads, and I'll close us in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, and we are thankful for who you are, that you didn't leave us in the depth of despair, in the pit of sin that we were in. But you thought enough of us to forgive us. And as David said in the Psalms, you made us a little lower than the vine. What a thought that you did that for us. And so, Father, we adore you. And Lord, we confess our sin. We confess our faults, the iniquity in our lives, the things that are keeping us from that awesome, perfect relationship with you. Lord, we just throw it at the foot of the cross and believe that that blood that dripped off of you has covered that pile of garbage. We thank you for that. And Father, we thank you for what you've done in our lives, for your salvation, for peace, for families, for friends, for home, for jobs, for the ability to provide, for health. For safe travel for Bill's son and daughter-in-law coming from California. And we're thanking you and believing for a safe trip back. Lord, we are just sometimes in awe of what we mean to you and how valuable, how important, how special you see us. So Lord, as we thank you for taking care of us, we also have needs that we bring to you. Lord, tonight I pray for that person that I talked to on the phone. And I pray that you will give them the courage to step back and say, I've had enough. I don't need this life. I don't need this relationship. There's something better for me. Lord, I lift up Doug Beckman and just pray, Father, that you will touch the bronchitis in his body, Father, and just pray that you eradicate it and that you give him back health and wholeness. And Lord, while you're at it, would you touch his kidneys? And Lord, give him a resurrection in his body, Lord. We're so thankful for Doug and for Nancy. And Lord, there are other needs that are represented by each and every person here. And Lord, if they have specifically brought them to you, I agree, Lord, with them that whatsoever on this earth is bound will be bound on this earth, and whatsoever is loosed in heaven. So, Lord, we are loosing the Spirit to fall down and fall afresh on all of us for a restoration, for a new life. New friends, new relationships, new Christ followers that we will see because there's only people, certain people that we can influence. So Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for this day, for this night, this time of reflection. And we pray, Father, that you will bless this time of ashes now. As we pause and we seek purification and understand and realize that we are dust and that you formed us and that's where we're going again. But we're thankful that the Spirit lives on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you just to go forward. Jim and Wes are up there. And once that you've received your ashes, I ask you to come back and sit down and reflect a few moments, and then we're going to close in a closing song.